Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children. And by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education today.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Bill Federer, and we have had you on the show before. We just love to catch up. Today we're talking about your St. Patrick's book and DVD, and I imagine you have it as an e-book as well.
Yes.
So our listeners, we encourage you to go to the website. I've mentioned this website before. It's AmericanMinute.com. And on there, you can see a lot of things that Bill has done. I was looking through the list and I was thinking, oh, I'd like to do one on the income tax, or that'd be a really good one too. So Bill is, I like to call him America's historian, but he has a huge bio here of all of the television shows. He was a former U.S. congressional candidate. He's appeared on CSPAN and Fox, Hannity, NBC, MSNBC, TBN, INSP, TCT, FamilyNet, Familyland TV, the Coral Ridge Hour, 700 Club, and so forth. And is all that information also on your website?
Yes, yes, AmericanMinute.com.
So the first question is, what made you interested in writing just specifically about St. Patrick?
Well, St. Patrick is a holiday that's been celebrated for over 1,500 years.
Mm.
And my grandmother was born on the St. Pat's Day, March 17th, and also my wife is half Irish. But it's a fascinating story that, believe it or not, affected the laws and exactly how our form of government is in America. But I'm anxious to jump into it.
Yes, and I am too, because Mike and I, we got married on March 17th. So we have lots of, you know, cute little St. Patrick's Day mementos from when we got married. And we've always been interested ever since choosing that day as our wedding day. So let's start at the very beginning then. His beginning wasn't that nice, but, you know, we need to set the stage by starting where the story really begins.
Right. So if we look at a map, and the far east is China, and it is being invaded by Huns. And so China begins to build the Great Wall of China around 220 AD during the Han Dynasty. And so this meant that the invading tribes of Huns and Mongols had to attack in an opposite direction, west. And so this begins a displacement of tribes across Central Asia, Visigoths, Ostrogoths, Anglos, Saxons, Jews, and they begin to overrun the Roman borders. So Rome had been the biggest empire in the world, and now it's being invaded by illegal immigrants, in a sense. And Rome suddenly has to pull all of its legions back from the frontiers. And so Britain was a Roman colony all the way from 44 BC or so, when Julius Caesar and the Romans invaded. Anyway, so Rome has to pull its legions back, and Britain, a Roman colony, is now left unprotected. And so this is when marauding bands begin to invade into this British colony, this Roman Britain colony, and carry away people captive. And so Patrick was captured, and he's a teenager, and he's brought and sold as a slave in Ireland. And Ireland was ruled by the Druids, and the Druids is where we get Halloween from.
Now, would this be, if we were to compare it to biblical prophecy, this would be around the time where in Daniel's big image, where the legs of iron representing the Roman, you know, the Roman world rule is now taken over and becomes divided by all these tribes, the Visigoths and the Ostrogoths and the Franks and so then that becomes in the feet of clay, where they have iron and clay mixed together in the feet. Is this where approximately this time in biblical history that coordinates with this story?
Well, I'm not a prophecy scholar, so I can't talk with authority, but it is around the 400s, and Rome falls in 476 AD. This is the Western Roman Empire. So these are more or less the last generation of Rome.
Yes.
And the Huns are invading. Attila the Hun, he like wiped out all, he had an army of 500,000 men, and he's wiping out all kinds of cities in Europe, and the Christians think that Attila is the Antichrist. And, but anyway, Patrick during this time is kidnapped, and now he's a slave in Ireland. Ireland's ruled by the Druids, and that's where you get Halloween from.
Yes.
And they believed the woods were filled full of spirits that always needed to be appeased, and they would have human sacrifice. And Patrick, his parents had been a Christian, but he had not yet converted. He was just a teenager. And he writes in his confession, Patrick said, "But after I came to Ireland, every day I had to tend sheep. Many times a day I would pray, sometimes as many as 100 times in a day, through frost, through rain, through snow." And then he says, "The Lord opened the sense of my unbelief. I remembered my sins, and I repented." And then he said, "The Lord watched over me as a father would a son." And then he writes in his confession that one night I had heard a voice in my dream saying, "It is well that you fast. Soon you will go to your own country." And again, the voice said, "Your ship is ready." And so he fled from the Druid chieftain that he had been a slave to, and went a couple hundred miles to the coast, and there was a boat taking wolfhounds on it to Europe to sell his hunting dogs, and they let him get a ride. And so now he's back in Europe. He hitchhikes his way all the way back to Britain. He's reunited with what's left of his family. And the year is probably around 435 AD at this time. And his life is pretty uneventful until he turns 40 years old. And then he has another dream, and he writes in his confession, I keep referring to that confession because later in life, he gets accused by church leaders of not having been a Christian when he was young, and they wanted him to leave Ireland and go back to have a little sit-down talk. And he said, "No, God called me to Ireland. I'm going to stay in Ireland, and I'll write my confession." And so he tells his life story. Mm-hmm. So sort of like the Apostle Paul, had he not been thrown in prison, he wouldn't have written half the New Testament mm-hmm. in his letters, right? And so had they not accused Patrick, who would have never written his confession down, we wouldn't know a lot of fascinating details about his life. But in his confession, he says, "In the depth of the night, I saw a man named Victoricus coming as if from Ireland with innumerable letters. He gave one to me. While I was reading, I thought I heard the voice of those from the Western Sea in Ireland crying out, 'Please, holy boy, come and walk among us again.' Their cry pierced to my very heart. I could read no more, so I awoke." Well, he took this as a call from God, sort of like the Apostle Paul had a dream of somebody in Macedonia saying, "Come over here." Right? And so he goes back to Ireland, and he begins to evangelize. Now, Ireland is ruled by these Druid chieftains, and they're pagans. And so he boldly goes into the den of the chieftain, and he begins to proclaim the gospel in their own language, which he had learned when he was captive as a teenager. And
wow.
So the Druid priests want to kill him because they realize this is a new religion. And the chieftain said, "Well, what's the hurry to kill him? We don't get visitors that often. You know, let him live." And well, the chieftain gets fascinated and converts and gives Patrick his land to build his first church on. But the Druids aren't done. They try to kill Patrick at least a dozen times. Patrick says, "Daily I expect murder, fraud, captivity, but I fear none of these things because of the promises of heaven." He says one time he was in chains for two weeks. They, led traps for him and so forth, but the Lord watched over him. And there's a lot more to the story, right? So he used the three-leaf clover to teach the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three in one.
Mm-hmm.
And the Druids, one time, a chieftain made everyone in this area put out their fires, and they would have to bring a gift or a goat to the Druids to get some coals to relight their fire for the mm-hmm. next year. And the story was, whoever did not put out their fire in their house, their hearth, at this time, the chieftain would kill them. And so everybody puts out their fires, they're bringing their gifts, and lo and behold, Patrick goes to the highest hill, and he lights a bonfire. Why? Because it's the night before Easter. He says, "Far from it for me to submit to this pagan chieftain on the night before Christ rose from the dead." Anyway, the people say to the chieftain, "How come that guy doesn't have to put out his fire?" So the chieftain sends a bunch of men up there to kill Patrick. Patrick sees them coming, and he cries out with a loud voice, "May God come and scatter his enemies," and they're all thrown down, sort of like when Elijah was on the hilltop Mm-hmm. And those 50 men come to get him, and then they pray and they get struck down. Anyway, the chieftain comes on bent knee and prays for Patrick to forgive him, and he ends up becoming a Christian. And so that hill, it's called the Hill of Slain, or the Hill of Proag Patrick, Hill of Patrick. And his stories are really filled full of a lot of miracle stories. And believe it or not, some of the stories are even him raising people from the dead. And there's the Life and Acts of St. Patrick. It was written in the 12th century, which is obviously 8 centuries after he lived, but it's filled full of stories of him, you know, raising people from the dead, casting out demons, doing miracles. And, you know, one of the chapters is, another man buried and rose from the dead. And it says a boy was, killed by some swine and he was restored to life and so forth. But he is credited in his 30 years of ministry with baptizing 120,000 people. Mm. He starts 300 churches. And World Book Encyclopedia says he found Ireland heathen and left it Christian.
Yeah, and we do want to remind our listeners that they can go to your website, AmericanMinute.com, and learn more. Yes, we're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, well, we'll hear as much as we can of the rest of the story. We'll be right back.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
This day, March 17th, is the date St. Patrick died in 461 AD. At 16, he was kidnapped to Ireland and made a slave on a pig farm for 6 years until he escaped back to England. In his early 40s, he returned to Ireland, confronted the Druids, converted chieftains, and used the three-leaf clover to explain the Trinity. Founding 300 churches and baptizing 120,000 converts, he wrote in his Confessions, "Patrick the sinner, an unlearned man to be sure. None should ever say that it was my ignorance that accomplished any small thing. It was the gift of God."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin. And I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion. And I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you. So be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162, or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm talking with William Federer, America's historian. And we just love the stories that you tell us. For me, because I do love how through the ages you can see how God's hand has imprinted and he hasn't forsaken this dark planet that certainly has a lot of gloom on it. But he has these rays of joy, absolute joy in these people like St. Patrick. So continue with this story, but make sure we don't leave out how St. Patrick got his sainthood.
So in the next century, it was the Irish missionaries that went back to Britain and into Europe that evangelized those heathen hordes that had overrun the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. And one of the was Columba. And he was an Irish missionary. His story is interesting. Well, because there was different chieftains in Ireland who had become Christian. And one of them had a copy of the Psalms. and Columbus sneaks into the castle, you know, gets the psalm book, and for a year hand copies it, and then sneaks it back into the castle. Well, the king who it had been borrowed from demanded the copy, and the other king wouldn't give it, and they fight, and 3,000 people die in the battle. And Columba feels so bad, he banishes himself to the island of Iona and starts a little missionary movement, and they end up re-evangelizing into Britain and into Europe. One missionary, Columbanus, starts over 100 churches across Europe. And so Patrick really had this ripple effect on Western civilization. One Irish missionary named St. Brendan, their idea of doing missionary work was to go down to the coast, get in a little boat, and lift a sail, and wherever the wind blew you, that's where the Holy Spirit wanted you to be a missionary. Well, how would you like that? Or are you going to wait wherever it blows you? And so one of them, St. Brendan, is blown off to the west, and nobody sees him for 7 years. He finally comes back, and he describes his land to the far west. And lo and behold, they think that he was the first one to discover the coast of America. And anyway, but interesting things about Patrick, he always had an inferiority complex. You think, what? Yeah, he was kidnapped before he finished his Latin education. And so the writers during this era were writing deep theological works in Latin. And here's Patrick, you know, writing and speaking in the common language of these people. And so throughout his confession, he'll say things like, you know, Patrick, a sinner, an unlearned man, to be sure. I didn't want to write because of my ignorance and so forth. And but over and over again. And then he there's one of the stories where he's walking through a valley, and a chieftain had men ambushing, ready to jump out and kill him. But all day long they waited. The only thing they saw go by was a deer. And so the next day, Patrick's on the other side. And so they called one of Patrick's prayers the deer's cry. And it's just a beautiful song. It says, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ above me, Christ beneath me. You know, Christ and friend and stranger to protect me from Satan's evil spells and, you know, all that. So it's just a, sometimes the prayer is called the breastplate of Patrick.
Now, but, when you went to prepare for this book, did you go to any of the places where, like, did you go to Ireland or any of those places? Did you get to go?
No, just a lot of research. I had family members that have lived in Ireland for several years, but the research is basically through history. But he did impact Western civilization. So when the Druids got saved, they threw away their pagan laws. And so Patrick came up with not just the gospel, but for the laws. And so it's called the Code of Patrick. And the missionaries took this back to Britain, and the people used it as their law. And then later it got written down by King Alfred the Great of Britain around the year 800. And so it's called the Code of Patrick. And now it's Alfred's law code. And that's the basis for English common law. And so, you know, where you have kings ruling top down, and in England, they would be common people saying, no, we have rights that are ancient British rights. Well, that goes back to common law. It goes back to the Code of Patrick. And since our laws in America are based on English common law, we can, in a sense, have an influence from St. Patrick on our very laws in America.
Yeah, it makes time shrink when you can connect something that happened essentially, what, less than 500 years after the death of Jesus Christ to our day and age now. It really shrinks the time. It doesn't seem like it was so long ago.
No, and he was another document that all historians acknowledge he wrote is called the Letter to Caroticus. And so Caroticus was a British king, an English king, and he was kidnapping Irishmen and enslaving them. And many of them were ones that Patrick had brought to faith. And so Patrick writes this letter condemning him, saying, you know, you're selling the bride of Christ into a brothel. These are Christians, and you're enslaving them. And so Patrick's considered in a sense, the first abolitionist.
So it says that tell me a little about why you created a DVD. I know I've interviewed you about a number of books, but I haven't seen that you had DVDs to go with them.
Right, so it's a fascinating DVD. It's a 3.5-hour program, and it takes you through this whole period of time from the fall of the Roman Empire and all the Ostrogoths and Visigoths and everybody invading, goes through the kidnapping of Patrick. And again, Patrick was born around 389 A.D. He gets captive around 405 A.D., and he begins his ministry around 430 A.D., and then he dies in around 461 A.D. And he dies at a place called Down Patrick. Sort of easy to remember because that's where he went down.
Mm-hmm.
But on the date was March 17th, 461 A.D. And I really encourage people to get the book and the DVD. It's just a fascinating study, and you'll, for no other reason, get the prayer, the Patrick's breastplate prayer, where he says that Christ, I bind to myself today the power of God to hold and lead, his eye to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need. He goes on, the word of God to give me speech, his heavenly host to be my guard against Satan's spells and wiles, against false words of heresy, against the knowledge that defiles. But then he says, protect me, Christ, till thy returning. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me. And I bind into myself today the strong name of the Trinity, 3 in 1, 1 in 3, in whom all nature hath creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word, praise to the God of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord.
And so
just a very faith-filled man that here we are 1,500 years later, still remembering him. Now, there were two waves of Irish immigrants to America. The first was in the 1600s, where you had Britain had Oliver Cromwell, and he went over, and Spain was trying to get Ireland, which was Catholic, to join with them in attacking Britain. And Cromwell attacks back, Spanish leave, and so what happens is they end up shipping a whole lot of Irish off to slavery in the Caribbean and in the American colonies. And then the British take a bunch of Scottish people and implant them into Northern Ireland. Mm. So they're called Scots Irish.
Mm.
And then around the early 1700s, a bunch of Scots Irish come to America. But then the next wave is in the middle to late 1800s. And you had a whole lot of Irish immigrants come over with what's called a potato famine. And so really the top three countries where immigrants came from was Ireland, England, and Germany.
Mm.
That was the three main countries for over a century.
Well, you know, we've come to the end of our show, and I just hope everyone, when St. Patrick's Day comes, they just don't let it gloss over, but realize that this was a great man of God, and he also was right at that time period where the world power known as the Roman Empire dissolved, and we are probably in the toenails of time now. And I just appreciate, Bill, you taking this time with us. I hope all of my listeners will go to AmericanMinute.com and look at all of the wonderful things you've written from really a faith-based worldview. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Amen. God bless you as well.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.